This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, welcome to the show. Ahead, WHL Commissioner Dan Neer talks about the latest surrounding the league and more on how fans can watch and consume content. That's coming up in moments. Swiftcurrent Broncos General Manager Chad Leslie had an active trade deadline. We'll get the latest on the Broncos. Plus, a look at the WHL Players of the Month and a unique experience for a former WHL goaltender turned emergency backup goaltender with the Edmonton Oilers. First up, WHL Commissioner Dan Neer was in Victoria this week, and that's where Regan Bartel caught up with him.
November 30th is when you were officially hired. How has the first year and a bit gone?
Well, I love it. It's been, you know, tremendous challenge. Ron Robinson leaves a tremendous legacy behind, 24 years in the chair, but he left me with a great slate. We've got 22 awesome teams operating on both sides of the border, developing kids, educational opportunities, pro opportunities. Now there's NCAA opportunities. The world's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've taken it all in, and I'm really amazed and impressed with the really everybody that's part of the WHL ecosystem, whether that's an educational advisor, whether it's a radio broadcaster, whether it's a billet. You know, there's so many people that are committed to our sport and our league that it makes you very proud to be associated with it.
Yeah. Any surprises? There always has to be some, right? You open a door and you go, oh, boy, I didn't expect that.
Well, nothing's easy. Yeah. And I think that we've done things a certain way for a long, long time, and trying to challenge people to be open-minded about, hey, how can we grow the sport? How can we have greater influence? How do we deal with the competitive landscape, whether it's other sports that are emerging or other hockey leagues that are emerging? And we have constructive discussions every day, and maybe it's not a surprise, but I think that just continuing to try and get everybody aligned, get 22 teams rowing in the same direction and understanding that collaboration is actually good for all of us.
Yeah, Dan, it's interesting because hockey is so traditional. There's typically not a lot of change. Hockey's maybe a sport where they don't like to change a lot. How tough is it for you to kind of break through that barrier?
You know, I will give the committees around the WHL a ton of credit, because even the ones that are most traditional have suspended their disbelief and said, hey, we're going to hire a guy from outside our league, right, someone who is not a player in our league or in the National Hockey League or hasn't been a general manager. Hire an Adidas guy and a guy that spent some time at the NHL to say, hey, can you look at things a little bit differently? Can you challenge us every day? And people have been very gracious and patient in that, and I'm not always right, and they'll tell me when they don't think I'm right, and other times I think they're wrong, and you know, there's a little push and pull, but I think that kind of friction and you know, it sends us in a good direction as it relates to trying things we might not have tried in the past and not being afraid to fail, because you'll never know how good you can be unless you cross the line now and then. And so as long as you do it in a responsible way and figure out how not to make that mistake again and move on to the next thing, that's what we're trying to do in the Western Hockey League. And so, you know, you've seen an example of that would be the WHL Game of the Week, the Wednesday nights in the Dub. We launched that this year, not really knowing if it's something that would be embraced. But I think if your team's not playing on Wednesday night, I want you to tune in and watch what's going on in the league and have a chance to see Gavin McKenna wheeling around and a big rivalry game between, you know, Spokane and Everett or whatever it might be. And fans have really, really responded to that. And the people around the league have, too. Like, it's so unorthodox to think in Kelowna they might promote a game that's not theirs, but the idea of building the Western Hockey League and our profile in Western Canada and beyond is people are embracing. It's been fun.
Yeah, the voice you're listening to, Dan Neer, again, WHL Commissioner, joins us upstairs here in the broadcast booth for a few minutes. Nice little chat, webcasts, and just getting the product out to the, I guess, the non-season ticket holder. We've got a long way to go. Where would you like to see webcasting go?
Oh, that's a great question. And, you know, I think that radio has been such an influential part of our history, and I don't think we ever want to lose that because it's so tried, tested, and true and reliable, and it's how our fans consume. But I want us to be able to stream as well, and I think the idea of being able to do multiple things at once, and, you know, it's sometimes risky to do this, but I've got two 13-year-olds and a 14-year-old, and watching how they consume, yes, whether it's the Western Hockey League or the Super Bowl, the TV is actually the second device. Whatever they're holding in their hand is the first device. And so I think the idea of saying we've got to remove the access constraint, we've got to be more available, because there's too many other things that are available, whether that's on social media, whether it's sports on YouTube, whether it's all Netflix and the other Amazon Prime, the other things that you're downloading. And so we have to find a spot where, you know, we're not forcing the fans to come find us. We're finding them. And we're spending a lot of time talking about that because I think that consumption of the game really is what brings somebody up that pyramid of consumption. So you might go to one game, then you might start watching one on TV, then you might buy merchandise, then you might start watching what's going on around the league, then you might buy season tickets. And trying to get people to engage more, I think, is what we want to do, and do it in a way that's super authentic. I don't want to force anybody to watch our property. I want them to know the storylines, understand the players, and want to see what's happening all the time.
So would that be amping up the production of a webcast? Moose Jaw does a pretty decent job of it. Victoria's trying to make it a little more showy. Would you like to see all teams follow their lead?
Well, you know, Moose Jaw, I think, was a great example, and I saw a lot of them last year with the playoff run that they made, and the idea of having pre- or post-game shows, the idea of having player intermissions in the interviews. Like, we have to find a way for you to interview a Rockets player when you're on the road, right? You're here on your own. But the idea that you can't have talk back down to the dressing room when the guy's walking off, those are fairly simple things that we can do, but it'll make the broadcast more dynamic. No shade to you. You do a great job, but one guy's got to carry it the whole show. And I think adding more, you know, dynamicism to the broadcast is something we can do. And then, of course, always trying to elevate our standards and ensure whether it's the lighting, whether it's the replays, what's going on during the intermissions. Those are all things we're spending time talking about to say, how do we make a better fan experience?
From the drop of the puck to the Edson Out Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Swift Current Broncos general manager Chad Leslie is navigating a team searching for an East Division title while also dealing with the changing junior hockey landscape. I caught up with a fourth-year WHL GM.
Chad, you were in a spot at the trade deadline where I think it might have been able to go either way. You were probably fielding calls to say, hey, what are you doing? And you were probably trying to field calls to say, let's get better. Let's try to make this roster work here. What was the deadline like for you this season after that big Connor Geeky trade last year?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was similar in regards to activity. Like, I think it's really important to always stay in tune with what the market is, market value, what's happening, and finding out, you know, where everybody else is and sitting and their thought process with what's going on. So I think it's important in that regard for sure. But, we felt very, you know, comfortable with adding. I think when you look at our group, we have really good goaltending, and I know statistically it looks like it struggled a little bit early on in the season, but we were also running with five defensemen that are 17 years old or younger. So, and those guys did a great job. It's not pointing fingers at all. I mean, it's just a really, you know, as well as I do, it's a hard league to defend in. And so when you're a little young back there, it's tough. And so adding Rochak and Mayo was huge for us. I think they both fit in really well to how we play and, you know, what our needs were at the time. And I thought we did it cost effectively for sure. Obviously, giving up a couple of players with Goering and Copeland, it's always tough, but you have to give to get a little bit. And so I felt, you know, cost effectively, we did a decent job in adding for our group, and we can score, and our power play is pretty solid. So it's it would be interesting here.
You know, Swift Current, smallest market, you know, you probably take questions about that all the time. It's a bit of an uphill fight. That said, league champion here, what, 5-6 years ago here as well. So it can be done. Is there anything moving forward with the new NCAA changes that has you concerned or maybe a little bit more perked up to what could be coming down the pipe? But what's your take on how these changes might affect a market like Swift?
You know, I think it's a positive thing to an extent in regards to just not being concerned about another option for players. I know, you know, the 2006 born draft class, we had, you know, 24, 25 guys say no to us 3 days before the draft, and they all went to within the top 55 picks. So, I mean, for me, I think it's just a situation now where we'll just take guys that we want to have regional bias or whatever. And that being said, we're still going to have some regional bias because those are kids in our back door. But, you know, I think it just allows us to take guys that we want to take and come and play in the league. And like I said, you know, this college and eligibility thing has been really interesting, but I think what can't fall on deaf ears again is the opportunity that we do give our players in the Western Hockey League. I think our education package is second to none, and so I just feel really positive that we do a really good job with development and putting players the next level, and it's a great opportunity now. So we're just going to take who we want and, you know, come play in the Western Hockey League. It's the best developmental league there is. So
I know when I was in Swift Current, it was always tough to recruit American players. That was always the challenge. You know, you could draft this kid, but what are your chances of seeing him? Probably not that great. Now that might change things a little bit here with the new rules. Could we see a steady stream of Americans, maybe in that East Division, maybe in Swift Current here down the line?
I think so. I think, you know, we signed our first American with Aiden Escott, the goalie there, and I think that's a really good starting point for us. And we had Brock Birch from Little Caesars up at camp, and we've got some real high-end 09 American kids that I feel pretty strongly about, and we're doing everything we can. I think, you know, the development team is always going to be a big draw for those guys, but I think, you know, the little two-game set that we did have with the development team bode well for the CHL, and putting some young guys in a situation where they're not 16-year-olds all together playing in the North American League or the USHL. They're insulated with some older players. They're, you know, on a team with NHL draft picks that are comparables for NHL scouts to see the young players when they're coming through. So I think there's lots of benefit for those guys to come and play in the CHL as opposed to the development team. So it'll be interesting. I think there's opportunity to get more guys.
What about retaining the 19 and the 20-year-olds for another year with this? You know, this development model seems to be working, turning players into pro. I know there's NHL teams that say their best 20-year-olds that are in their camps are the Western League players from the schedule, from the grind, from the travel. How do WHL teams, how does Swift Current keep those 19, those 20-year-olds from jumping and leaving to go to college?
I think it's going to be interesting how things go. Like, we're going to take a 10,000-foot approach here and just kind of see, you know, how teams use the portal. And right now it's interesting because I think, you know, a lot of institutions down there are mandated on getting as many CHL players as they can. And so for me, I just try to educate our guys in regards to, is the program that's recruiting you, is it a fit for you? And then, you know, the second most important thing, in my opinion, is understanding when you go down there and have an impact. I mean, I worked in Junior A prior to this and have had a lot of guys gone to the NCAA, and with Junior A guys, they get a little bit of a grace period to get their feet wet and get comfortable. And I think our CHL guys that are putting some numbers up are going to be expected to step in and contribute a little more quickly. So I think guys have to understand, you know, when the right time to go is. When can I be impactful down there? Because that's going to be really important. I've been down. I went and watched Minnesota and Michigan play, and I'm going to get down again and watch a couple other teams just because I want our families of our players to know that, you know, the advice and the opinions aren't self-serving in regards to being something for Swift Current. It's, you know, something for them. It's beneficial for them. I care about our players, and I want what's best for them. So I don't want to see our guys in a situation that doesn't work out for them. So I just want to educate them, have them understand that, you know, this potentially is a great opportunity for you, but you have to understand, you know, am I going to play hockey? Am I going to school? What do I want to take in school? What's life after hockey look like? So, you know, targeting institutions as opposed to them targeting you, I think, is extremely important. So that's why I hope our guys, and I want our guys to, you know, just take that 10,000-foot approach and just understand you've got some time here. Let's, you know, sit back and see how things go and make some good decisions.
Lastly, the Broncos have done a really good job within, you mentioned, their backyard, and we're seeing Carter Moen make his WHL debut. His dad, Travis, who was a Kelowna Rocket but resides in Swift. Rondeau is a familiar last name, and there's a few in the system too here. How much emphasis has the organization in Swift put on that name bar, that local kid, that local player?
Yeah, and you know, you're never going to get them all. That's the thing, but I've always said, I grew up in Elkhorn, Manitoba, just an hour from Brandon, and watched Kelly McCrimmon do it the right way for a long, long time. And so the makeup of those teams consistently was always 14 or 15 Manitobans. And I've always felt if I ever got into a situation where I had some decision-making ability, that it would be an area that I would target for sure. So I just like the fact that, you know, there's, you know, not a lot of fluff, and guys want to play. They want to play in the league. And I think we're a good fit for, you know, Manitoba, Saskatchewan kids for sure. Alberta, we're a good fit for everybody, let's be honest. But, I mean, you know, to get things going the right direction after the rebuild, when the team won a championship, it was important for us to start fishing from that pond.
I like that perspective, Chad. Thanks for being our guest, and good luck down the stretch.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Medicine Hat Tigers alternate captain Gavin McKenna has been named the WHL Player of the Month for January. It's the second time this season McKenna has earned the monthly award. The Whitehorse Yukon-born sensation tallied 7 goals and 19 assists for 26 points in 11 games since returning from the IIHF World Junior Hockey Championships.
The team, it was a huge month for us, so I thought our team played really well, and when with the team success, I think it just comes with personal success, so they kind of go hand in hand, and I got to thank the team for everything they've done.
Meanwhile, his teammate, netminder Harrison Menegan, named the WHL Goaltender of the Month for January. The Tampa Bay Lightning prospect went undefeated in the month, going 7-0, with a 1.55 goals against average and a .930 save percentage, along with a shutout.
Obviously, it was a huge month for us. You know, with that U.S. road trip, it's not easy, but we did a really good job. I think, you know, the team learned a lot about ourselves, how resilient we can be, and also how we can win games, you know, when we're not 100%. So I think that was really important for us. Obviously, we're, you know, super happy with, you know, how that went, but I think it's also important to kind of look at how we had that success and continue to do that.
And Prince Albert Raiders defenseman Daxon Rudolph has been named the WHL Rookie of the Month for January.
That's down the right side, cross-ice feed. Rudolph scores! Great feed from Tomas Mrazek, and Daxon Rudolph extends it to 10 games for number 10.
That was Nick Nielsen on the call. 16-year-old starting to really step up. He led all first-year players to 2 goals and 13 assists for 15 points, a plus 15 rating in 13 games. Rudolph went on a stellar 12-game point streak and only missed the score sheet one time in January. Congratulations.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
It was a night to remember for former Everett Silvertip and Victoria Royals goaltender Tyler Palmer in Edmonton. The goaltender for the University of Alberta Golden Bears was thrust into action as the Edmonton Oilers emergency backup. He remembers the Oilers reaching out in late January to get into the rink to back up WHL alumni Calvin Pickard.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal at first, obviously. I didn't even know how to react, especially that first time. Yeah, it kind of caught me off guard. So I was pretty speechless, to say the least.
A warm-up was a new experience for Palmer.
The one thing that really stood out to me was McDavid's hands. Obviously, everybody knows that, but it's crazy how fast he can move the puck, move his stick, and it's like you don't even know what's going on, and then he's shooting all of a sudden.
Palmer took in the game from the far side of the bench.
Obviously, I was pretty nervous. I wasn't sure exactly what to say, but I was fairly quiet on the bench. But you know, some of the guys were, you know, trying to talk to me and you know keep me engaged in the team. So it was a really cool experience.
It was a memorable experience for the 21-year-old.
You know, I was just kind of there to take it all in and have fun with it.
Hey, that's the show. Big thanks to our guests, as well as some help from Regan Bartel, Casey Bryant, and Will Bryant. Thanks, guys. I'm John Keane. Enjoy the weekend.